You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Oh, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We got an excellent conversation coming up today with something that is very, very important to people who are anticipating surgery. Patrick Frank is the co-founder and the COO of Patient Partner. So, Patrick, welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405. Coming from San Diego, it's right down the 405.
Yeah.
Up here to Orange County. So welcome. So tell us about this wonderful thing called Patient Partner.
Yeah, absolutely. So Patient Partner, and one, actually, before I get started, thanks so much for having us on. I mean, really looking forward to the conversation and share more about what we're doing. That being said, Patient Partner, simply at its core, right, is a platform and a service that we are providing to patients who are going through the surgical journey. You know, our goal is to connect them one-to-one with another patient who has already been through that exact same surgery, right? And we do this from a relatable standpoint, right? We want to make sure that these patients are connecting with each other through, you know, let's say we want to pair up a male, you know, age of, you know, 40 years old at a certain activity level. We're going to pair him with someone who's very similar, right? Who has a similar journey. And the whole goal of this, right, is to help answer the questions that patients, you know, still have after going to see their surgeon, right? After that brief time that you have to go and talk with the surgeon, it's, hey, I have all these questions that, you know, you can only get from someone who's been through it before. So that is truly where we are at our core.
Well, if I'm picking up on this, what it really is generally when the patient is talking with the surgeon, they're on opposite sides of the table.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, they're in different worlds. I mean, the surgeon is thinking about how he's going to do the surgery.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that every surgeon has a great bedside manner, but nevertheless, they're still outside the bed.
Yeah. And I think there's kind of two things to really highlight there, right? You couldn't be more correct is that, you know, in preparing for a surgery, right, a patient's in a very much of a different spot than the surgeon is. The surgeon's really role there is to instill confidence that, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's done this before. Make them feel safe that going through this, like, they're going to be all right and he's going to take care of them. The thing is that a surgeon, you know, very much is operating from an operator and a mechanical standpoint, right? Versus the patient who's operating very much for a life experience standpoint. And so, you know, even touching on what you highlighted in the bedside manner piece is surgeons vary on that as well, which is something we actually highlight on our platform is that there are surgeons who are very kind and much more in tune with their patients from an EQ standpoint. But there are also surgeons who are very direct, right, and very to the cut and dry and to the point. And that matters, right, to patients, at least from what we found from talking to our users. I mean, that's something that matters a lot.
Well, and yes, I appreciate that difference from different surgeons. What I'm picking up on is there is a totally different perspective from the patient's point of view.
Yeah.
And to have a fellow patient on my side of the table, or literally having been in this this hospital bed at one point, we can share experiences as a patient. I'd be more inclined to share my anxiety, more inclined to ask questions about things that I don't know about and don't want to appear something less than a strong person to my doctor.
Exactly. And that's a really great point. I mean, if you think about it, in addition to that, you only have a very limited amount of time with a surgeon. And studies show, I mean, the average time that patients are able to spend with surgeons has decreased year over year over year. Mm. And so really, you know, as we think about it, patients have less time to connect with surgeons, less opportunity to ask the questions that they have, and the surgeon's not necessarily the right audience. And to your point, I mean, patients being able to connect with one another allows them to, you know, have a more free-flowing conversation about, you know, all of their concerns and anxieties around not only, you know, what their life is like now, but also what it's going to be like afterwards. And no better person to answer that question than to somebody who's actually been through it.
And been through it successfully.
Exactly.
Right? I don't need to be talking to somebody who's had an unsuccessful experience. I mean, if I'm going to have my knee replaced,
yep,
I don't need somebody who took 9 months to even get out of bed.
Yep.
That's not helpful.
That's exactly right. And I think like one thing that we've seen across the healthcare industry right now is that all of the patient reviews that are out there are the majority of patient reviews that are out there really are motivated from a negative experience, right? So this fear is instilled inside of patients, and it's actually why, you know, only one out of three patients who are, you know, let's take orthopedics, for example, one out of three patients who are moving towards surgery actually end up going all the way through with it. And the largest reason why they don't is because of fear. And so, you know, one of those things that, you know, we've kind of seen in the world of healthcare is patients are going to places like Facebook. They're going to places like forums that they find. And it's this one-to-many connection where they see 1,000 different voices, 1,000 different experiences. But, you know, what we're focused on is creating a one-to-one connection, a one-to-one experience where these patients are able to share their experiences from a relatability standpoint. Right. So that you know that the person that you're speaking with is very similar to you.
Well, speaking to your comment about how people post because of a negative experience.
Yep.
The overwhelming majority of surgeries are successful.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, the statistics are wild in terms of success rates.
Yes. And so helping me as a patient across that gaping void of fear and indecision and lack of experience about it, because I've never been there before.
Yep.
And so having somebody to hold out a hand and say, let me share with you my successful experience.
Yes.
Which is what the majority of people have experienced.
That's exactly right. And I think something to highlight here, you know, not only from the patient side, but also the surgeon side is, you know, we as consumers, right, you know, we do this in other areas of our lives. And we actually do it in the surgical process already in a very different way. You know, the vast majority of prior patients that we've spoken to, we say, hey, did you have anyone to talk to prior to your surgery? And they go, well, I had to really reach within my network, and maybe one of my family members did in some cases. Right. So people are doing that, but giving the mass population the opportunity to do it at no cost, simply just on a platform to be able to make that connection, that's what we're doing. We're making that accessibility, that network available to everybody.
Well, I think, you know, my wife has been trained as a chaplain as a hospital chaplain, and she often talks about that role being one that's in between a third party. Between the patient and the surgeon. But even that is not the same as having gone through the surgery.
Of course. I mean, if you think about it, right, you know, we want to connect with someone who has already done the thing that we are preparing for, right? There's, again, like hearing it firsthand from somebody, there's nothing stronger than that, right? And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Is like, there's always valuable information out there that you can find from a third party, but having it directly from somebody who has been through and done what you're preparing for in any facet, right? Doesn't matter if it's surgery. It doesn't matter if you're about to go eat at a restaurant, for God's sakes, right? That powerfulness of that connection, that review, more or less, is something that's, there's nothing like it.
I believe the words become things. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the 4-minute mile and Roger Bannister, it wasn't any time at all after that impossible feat that he performed by running the first 4-minute mile. It wasn't long after other people did it and did it better. And
exactly.
And so what I'm hearing is you are using the words of somebody who's had the experience to share with someone else, which can make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of what you said. And like, I want to correlate that 4-minute mile piece to also what we're doing and the stage of our company, right? It's like, once you make that breakthrough of saying, hey, like this is real, right? This exists, right? This is possible, right? You start to break those barriers, right? And we're breaking down the barriers in healthcare to let patients know, like, there are other voices in the conversation, right? And there's other resources that you can tap into, given that, you know, the amount of resources that you have in terms of speaking to a time with a surgeon, you know, that's going down, right? And I think, like, something that really important for us to highlight is like, we're not charging patients for this, right? Patients are already being charged enough for it, right? I mean, for healthcare, just in general across the board. And so, you know, when we started this company, it was all rooted in saying, hey, like, how can we do this and have it be something that the patients don't have to pay for, right? Like that's really kind of our mission, is like, we're for patients by patients. And like, we stick to that in every single thing that we do.
So tell me about the mechanics.
Yeah.
All right. So who do you approach to bring this about? I mean, apparently you've put together your platform.
Yep.
All right. So now what do you do? What are you in the process of doing now? You have the platform.
Yeah. And I kind of want to take one step back and explain, like, kind of how that platform even works, right?
Okay, go ahead.
And so, you know, right now, you know, we work together with surgeons, with hospital institutions, and the healthcare industry as a whole, which really, you know, people find us through two different mediums, right? Through word of mouth, referrals, or our presence in the digital atmosphere. And so patients come on to patientpartner.com, and they go through a questionnaire. And this questionnaire is actually powered by machine learning and AI that is operating in the background, that is really based off of a relatability matrix, right? So this relatability matrix is pairing this incoming patient with this past patient, or one of our patient partners. And so you go through a questionnaire, a series of about 5 to 10 questions, depending on the surgery line. And then we pair you up with that patient partner, and you can schedule a time to have that conversation. And then our team coordinates all of that to happen.
Now, is the conversation text? Is it telephone? Is it Zoom?
So as of today, it is over the phone. And then the next iteration of it is to be able to have over a video call if they desire. We are working on integrating SMS and text messages. And so, like, we're really, you know, we're going to be expanding into all those areas. But today the conversation is happening over the phone. And it can happen over email as well if people are uncomfortable jumping on the phone.
Okay.
Yep. So that conversation happens, and then you know, the patient then is, we provide them with any other types of information that they're looking for, whether they're looking for more, whether it's insurance information that they want to have, we can kind of say, hey, you know, there's a variety of different specialties that cover said surgery, right? And check with your insurance operator to see if, you know, they cover this. The second portion is like, what surgeons are in my area that are operating within the surgery that I'm getting, right? And so taking a look at that and saying, hey, here are the surgeons that are within your geographical area that have patient partners. And so that's kind of the patient journey, right? They have the conversation. We have the availability to direct them in the pathway of surgeons in their area. But really, we are an educational platform for patients. Who we work with on our end, because there's always a big question, and this is one of the biggest things as a business that we're going through, is saying, like, hey, like, how do we build trust? Because from a patient standpoint, they're saying, God, this is too good to be true. What are they trying to get out of me, right? What are they trying to take from me? And at the end of the day, you know, this is a huge initiative across all of healthcare, is the patient experience. So we've received grants from industry. We work together with private practice surgeons as well as healthcare institutions to bring these patient partners, these advocacy groups, to patients, right? So our clients are those three main verticals, right? The healthcare institutions, healthcare industry, as well as private practice surgeons. But they're all invested into one thing, which is so great, which is the patient experience. And so it's one of those, like, kind of like the part that's too good to be true, is that we've really created this encompassing flywheel of a win-win-win, right? Surgeons win because they provide a better patient experience. Healthcare institutions and industry win because they provide a better patient experience, and they get a cultivated, customized, essentially patient advocacy network for them. And then patients win because they have an additional resource that they've never had before, mm-hmm. right? And they have a partner, literally, quite literally, through their entire surgical journey and even afterwards.
So we've talked about the patient experience, and that sounds to me to be very robust, long-term, filled with personal experience and relationship. So let's talk about it from the institutional perspective. What does the hospital gain or the surgery center gain?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry for the noise. So the surgery, like let's take it to the hospital, for instance, right? And the surgeon. So what they're gaining from this is a curated patient advocacy group, right? And so they're the ones who, of course, being all, mind you, HIPAA compliant across the board, they're the ones who reach out to their prior network of patients and they say, hey, like, you know, here's this program that I'm thinking about building into my institution or my practice, right? Is this something that you would be willing to do, right? Is this something you would be open towards? And this has actually been one of the greatest learnings we've had as a company is that the altruism from prior patients is something that is unparalleled across any industry that I have ever seen. The willingness for these patients to participate in this program and share their experiences is unmatched.
This is a similar experience to GoFundMe.
They feel as though they are doing something great for somebody else. But the most important part is like a trigger goes off in their mind, and this is what we've heard from all of our conversations is that they go, "Oh my gosh, I wish I would have had that when I went through it."
Right.
And all the while, so like the surgeons then get to, in the hospitals, they get to re-engage with these prior patients, right? And then they get to like build this customized community, right? And so it really is a huge lift in coordinating all of that, in being able to onboard them. I mean, the lift is immense that they don't necessarily have the resources for.
But to be part of a healthcare community.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not required to go to 8 years of medical school to participate in helping a patient deal with this strange, unexperienced world of surgery.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear, like, you know, and for all of our patient partners and our onboarding team internally, they go through quite a process, right? So it's not for like the faint of heart, right? Like they, you know, there's a lot of things that they cannot be saying during these conversations, right? They can't be taught giving medical advice. They can't be giving insurance advice. They can't be, you know, there's a myriad of different things that they cannot be talking about that we go through. We have a training process for them that they go through. Because we want these conversations to be around one thing, and that is around their experience, right? And so you're absolutely right. Like cultivating a community of, mind you, like going through that process, these are high quality individuals who are speaking, you know, very accurately as to what their experience is, right?
But let me ask, I mean, it's impressive that you can put together the technological platform. I mean, that's impressive in itself.
Yep.
What I'm also impressed with is that you are actually identifying, qualifying, and then training people to be this kind of support. So where did you learn what it takes to be this kind of supportive mentor in preparing somebody for surgery?
So it's kind of an interesting point and taking a huge leap back to like my co-founder and I, you know, we come from very different backgrounds, right? And I think that, you know, kind of where we are today, like there's a story of like, hey, how did we get to here? And how does that correlate to exactly what you just said? And so my co-founder, George Cram, he has spent his entire life in the healthcare industry. He worked on the actual device side, the medical instrument side across almost every single surgery line there is. And from his experience, you know, he kind of saw that gigantic lapse of one, patient experience, but two, like the educational piece for patients prior to going into their surgery. My background is purely in consumer technology. And what I want to stress by that is like empowering consumers to make decisions. And so I've worked across almost every legacy industry, whether that be oil and gas, law, retail, banking, you know, and real estate, healthcare fits right in. But all the while, you know, that big challenge of, hey, how do we actually build something or consumerize something that's never been done before? And so for us, like the first key, as I mentioned, is like actually getting them to participate, right? Like, how do we motivate them? Which we really found is like, that's in the sense of altruism. And I have a really, you know, fun fact about what we're doing here to tie this all in. But the second piece is like, from our internal team, right? You know, we have NPs on staff, nurse practitioners on staff. We have folks who are in this every single day, as well as an unparalleled customer success team that works together with these patients to really prepare them for what they're entering, these prior patient partners, preparing them for what they're entering into. So like, there is a lot of handholding, and this is exactly why that our clients, like the healthcare institutions and surgeons, they can't do this by themselves, because it's an immense lift to get them to that point. And at the very end, the question has to have is like, how do you keep these patient partners engaged in the program? Well, we actually donate to charity for every single patient connection that happens on our platform. We donate back to a charity of their choice. So that is like, we want to continue the entire theme of giving back, right? Yeah. Like, that's something that's like, they are giving back their time. They are volunteering to be a part of this. Like, we owe it to them to do the same thing.
Amazing. Yeah. And so it's nurse practitioners who have been in patient care for years, mm-hmm. who are training folks who have been through the surgery.
And not all of our CS team are nurse practitioners. Like, we have one on staff. But I think, like, again, there's a combination of like what we kind of go through from an onboarding standpoint from the healthcare side, as well as like a actual like customer success side from like a normal software company, right? Or like whether it be a service company, right? So it's this kind of combination between operational customer success and healthcare experience and patient care that has come together to create like, hey, like this is how we get here, right? Like, this is how we create these quality experiences on our platform.
So where are you now with how would you describe where you are now? Startup, mid-level, nipping at success?
Yeah, exactly. I think this is actually a super fun question, right? And so like, I've worked with companies of all shapes and sizes, some that have 10,000 employees, 1,000 employees, 100 employees, 10 and 1, right? Every single shape and size. And I think there's really five stages to a company, right? There's the proof of concept, or the ideation, right, is the first one. You're coming up with the idea, you're trying to flesh it out. There's the proof of concept, right? There's then product market fit, scalability, and then, you know, everything else that happens after that, right? All that kind of like long tail growth cycle. Where we are in all of that is the scalability side. So right now we have found something that works. We have found something that the industry needs, that patients want, and we've kind of now found this little secret sauce, if you will, rooted in our algorithms, the actual platform, and all of the partners on our site. And so where we are now is we are scaling this platform across not only surgery lines, but also across the US. So very clear, like right now, we started out in orthopedics. So this covers all of your knee replacements, hip replacements, sports medicine, ACL, MCL, and shoulder. We actually expanded rapidly into bariatric surgery. So if people don't know what that is weight loss surgery, which has been unbelievable for us in terms of patient engagement. You want to talk about an emotional surgery? That is probably one of the largest ones. And then, you know, where we've landed in terms of our geographical exposure, we're all across Southern California. And we are recently expanded out into Dallas, Fort Worth, Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Las Vegas. So right now, just in that kind of growth, land and expand phase.
So think with me, imagine 3 years from now.
Yeah.
3 years from now, you and I are back on the Pilgrim on the 405, and you have achieved all the things that you imagine that you wanted to be 3 years from now. And we're looking back. What would have changed? What will have changed along the way to get to that place where you imagine you're going to be?
Yeah. And so I'm going to speak from a very high level here, as I'm sure our product team would have a lot of thoughts on this. Looking at us, like what our goal is, right? Like our goal, very simply, is that everywhere that there is a surgery, there is a patient partner, Like, that is our vision. And so where are we, you know, 3 years from now, right? What changes is that the platform becomes more robust, right? In terms of the actual technology integrations where these interactions, these patient partner meetings are happening on our platform. We've rolled out across every single type of communication you can have. That's the text, the video calls, the phone calls, email, all of it. And we're across all surgery lines, right? And obviously across the US. And so I think, like, for us, it's scalability from a technological standpoint, right? What can we do to make a better patient experience on our platform? And then the second is like opening up that to the rest of the surgical world, right? And so I think that it's an immense undertaking, right? But I think that, you know, our team, we all operate this way. It's like we owe it to the opportunity of what this is, because I think this is something where, you know, we can make a dramatic impact in the world of healthcare. And not only that, I mean, just the world, right?
So what are some of the challenges that you see over this next 3 years? You know, I mean, looking back now, you're successful, you're looking back, what are the challenges that you overcame?
Yeah, so I think, like, in every single step of that journey that I was describing, of like the stages of a company, right? There's different challenges, and so for us is like it's always been kind of like, hey, how do we scale this out with massive adoption, right? And like I think the largest hurdle for us today, as we look at it, is letting patients know that this is an option, right, and a trusted option at that. Because here's the thing, is that when there is a completely different idea around how something should work, right, you have to get past that one barrier to let people know, like, hey, like, this is now available to me, to normalize it in their life. Just as though, like, if I were to say 10 years ago, right, like, you didn't have to go through a real estate agent to go buy a house. Today, Zillow is one of the most trafficked websites in the entire world. Or you didn't have to ask your friend what the best restaurant in town was. You can now go to Yelp, right?
Or you don't have to go down to the car dealership to buy a car. You just call Room, huh?
Exactly. That's exactly. My friend just did that. Just got a car from them. But you're exactly right. And so, like, the question has to be asked, why across other industries has this been normalized, right? And you know, now we're at that cusp where we're saying we are now here to normalize that in healthcare. That is the largest challenge, is building the awareness, building the trust, and letting patients know that this is an option for them. And that's why it's so beautiful that we're partnering with hospitals, healthcare institutions, and surgeons, because it allows us to kind of build this network effect of trusted professionals and institutions to educate patients that this is real.
Can someone preparing for surgery simply get on your site, get in the app, and then ask for a patient partner?
Yep. So you can come onto our site. And again, right now we're only covering the bariatric side, as well as we're rolling out more of a robust orthopedics side of it as well. So that's in the coming weeks. So right now it really is only covering those surgery lines.
But my hospital does not have to participate in it for me to.
Yeah. So patients can come on and in any geographical area that I was describing earlier, we can pair them up with a patient partner in their area.
Right. But it doesn't have to, I don't have to, my hospital or surgical center does.
Yeah. So, and again, like, you know, for us, like we're very hyper-focused in those geographical areas and those surgery lines, and we're learning every day. Right? Like we're constantly learning from the patient, our patient partners, the patients who are coming onto our site and having these conversations, and as well as the institutions and surgeons that are partnering with us as well. And so like the goal is to be able to, again, like we're in this scalability phase to say, like, gosh, like, you know, we're venture backed as a company. And you know, we're going in and making sure that we have the resources internally to be able to grow and scale this out, to then turn around and say, hey, you know what? Like, well, we can do this in any area for any patient with any surgery line, right? Like that's our goal.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. So how many pre-surgery patients have you serviced, would not be the word, supported?
Yeah.
Since you started.
Yeah. So we've kind of gone through like a couple iterations of the platform. So it's always so funny. I look back and be like, gosh, like how many people were we interacting with like a year and a half ago, right? And then like looking today, it's like it's just been exponentially growing. I mean, one, you know, we have over 100 patient partners on our site, as well as like, you know, I would say just a day we're seeing our user growth, you know, grow exponentially every single day, right? Some people who are signing up for these conversations. Candidly, I don't actually have the exact number off the top of my head, but it's definitely, you know, it's growing from when it was just, you know, 10 of these folks having these conversations to 50 to hundreds of these folks having these conversations. So we're growing at scale very quickly. And like, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing to say, but like we've gotten to a point where we're actually now having to scale up to how many conversations we have in queue, right? Because like, again, like we have, there's a lot of scheduling involved in that. And so for us, it's like now we're meeting the demand of these patient conversations. It's a great problem to have.
Sounds like you're having fun.
We are having a lot of fun, but I will tell you, it is, I've said this to our team, and I think that everyone's feeling this in a way, is like, you know, this is a very massive undertaking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, part of the culture we're building here is like, we can't bring someone on who's not passionate about what we're doing, because it is hard. Right? Like it is an emotional journey for these patients being involved in this capacity. There are complexities about being in the healthcare industry that other industries don't have to deal with. And like what we are building is not easy, right? But the thing is that it's a challenge. And I think that knowing that, hey, that's in front of us and what the opportunity and the vision is on the other side of it, like that's inspiring. And it's a great story to be a part of. And so I think that it's that in itself is a lot of fun.
Let me ask you now, I am an implementer for the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I'm going to send you a copy of the book that I just wrote about it. Now, this is 400 people around the country doing this. This is not just me.
Yeah.
This was put together by Gina Wickman 20 years ago, and it's working with, you know, 100,000 companies right now at various levels. But what we call the EOS life, I want to share you five things that we are aim at with the companies that we work with. And let's see where you are.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, we want the leaders to only do the things that they love to do.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely.
That means they have people around that they trust, that are capable, who they can delegate to. And they know what'll happen.
Yep. Keep going.
So,
I'm sorry.
So they only work with people. I mean, they only do the things that they love doing. Number two, they only work with people they love working with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Number three, they're making a great contribution.
Yep.
And number four, they're getting paid appropriately. And number five, which I think is really one of the most important, they have plenty of time to do the other things in their life that they're passionate about, like family, travel, all of those things. I see you're smiling now.
Oh yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah. So I might have a unique perspective on each of those points. And I think that like, and I'm going to try and get them in order.
All right. Number one, only do the things that you love doing.
Yep. And so like, I fundamentally at my core believe that as a leader of a company, you have to do all of the things that you did not want to do. And you have to be an expert across your entire company to know how the machine works in order to lead the people to make it work better. If you have not done the work before, if you have not spent the time and hours that it takes to require to understand what that job actually is like to do, then you are not in a position well enough to be able to lead someone who is doing that.
And get to the point where,
yes, you get to
get
the point.
To the point
you can then have
where then you're doing the things you love to do because you're great at it.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, is you empower those people. You hire people who are very specified to do that one thing, right? And that love and enjoy what they do, because that's how they become a leader.
Work with people you love.
Yeah, we are knocking that one out of the park, right? Like I call every day that we walk in the office, it's like Thanksgiving dinner, right?
Yeah.
Like we spend arguably more time with each other than we do with anyone else in our lives, and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, great. Make a great contribution.
That is something I think we have covered across not only the impact we're making in the healthcare industry, but even layered on top of that, you know, again, this, the entire theme of our company is this theory of giving back and sense of altruism. And I think like what I'll sum that up, like a word I use a lot is like impact. Like what is the impact that you're creating? And for us, like I really align with that statement. It's like, are you doing something that's creating impact, not just building a company for a company's sake, but something greater, a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. Next one is being compensated appropriately.
So a funny story about this. I mean, my co-founder and I, we didn't pay ourselves for a very, very, very long time. And we both left very established jobs, if you will, in order to do what we did. And you know, for us, like, I think that there's definitely a banding that goes on executive salaries. Because you want to stay motivated, you want to be, you know, stay hungry, right? And knowing that you have the largest ownership in the company, I think compensation can happen in multiple ways, whether it be equity or salary. But I think that understanding that, like, you always have to keep yourself hungry, never comfortable.
Right. And that's part of the journey to get to the place where you are compensated appropriately.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the last right.
We both having plenty of time to do the things that other things that you're passionate about, like family, travel, social work, whatever floats your boat.
So my co-founder and I think have very interesting opinions on this, maybe opposing. George has a family of four, two young kids and a wife, and myself, like, for me, like, I do not have that, right? So there's very different priorities, but I think that at the same time, it's looking at it and saying, you know, for me, like, I love work, candidly, like, I love it, right? I love being part of it. And maybe that is, like, you make the time available to, like, do what you love. Mm-hmm. But eventually in life, like, I always believe, like, there's a point where you get to in your career where then you create that availability down the line.
Right? That's the journey. That's the journey that every one of my clients takes.
Yep.
Right. And they're moving in that direction, but it's consistently moving in that direction, not getting caught up with doing things that I don't love doing.
Yep.
Ultimately coming up with a plan for how I'm going to get to that place. I mean, I've had folks that, you know, who were leading companies. They didn't know anything about accounting, and they really didn't want to know about accounting. They didn't know about HR. They didn't want to. But the person before them felt that, you know, the previous CEO felt like he had to do everything.
Yeah.
But this guy said, that's not me. I know how to manufacture. I don't want to know all these other things. And ultimately, he found out that he even wanted to leave manufacturing and get into research and development. And when he got that, he really got excited, because that's what he really loves doing.
Yep.
So it's that whole journey. So it's exciting to see that with you guys.
And that's, I think you hit the nail on the head there, right? It's like, there is this long tail journey about how you get to a certain place. And like, we are in the thick of it with being in the size that we're at and the growth state or the scalability stage of where we're at. And knowing that, like, a company then grows to a maturity standpoint where, one, if you can always have great people around you doing great things, that's what creates kind of the opportunity in those other areas, whether it be time, only doing the things that you love. And I think it really starts with, like, bringing on the best people who specialize and love what they do. Because if you do not have those people that are making a company work, I mean, I say this all the time, the company is only as good as the people that make it up, right? Like, bottom line.
I think that's important. I think that's very important. I think having a clear vision about who you are, where you're going and how you're going to get there, getting the right people in the right seats. I mean, that right people is the second piece. The third piece is getting data that comes in so that everybody has some measure of, you know, some level of measurability for what they're doing. So we see how we're, and people get to share in that. We're as a team moving forward.
I
don't know how you guys do it, but coming up with a way of handling problems, hurdles, the things that get in the way, and having a way of solving those problems immediately. I don't know, where are you in terms of documenting your processes now, making a simple documentation so that everybody can follow it?
Yeah.
Right?
That is a very fun question. I mean, we've kind of taken, you know, Google's theory of establishing OKRs and underlying KPIs that integrate and roll up as to like, what are all our initiatives? We've segmented our teams to say, okay, here are your KPIs that make up your OKR. What are we doing to hit that? And how are we reporting back to the rest of the team on our progress? And we basically built in a variety of different platforms, I guess you could say, or CRMs, not CRMs, operational management tools. And make sure that those are all being measured and reported back. Because I agree, it's a very important thing that people feel as though they're having an impact.
Well, great. This is wonderful. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah. So patientpartner.com is how you get to the website. If they want to get in touch with myself or George directly, our LinkedIns, we're on there religiously. So Patrick Frank and George Kramb, K-R-A-M-B is how you spell his last name. And then across all of our social handles, I don't know if all of them off the top of our head, but we're across every single social platform, for the company. But the website is very simply patientpartner.com.
Super. So you really have three different audiences, don't you? One is the patient, one is that patient partner, and the other is the surgeon and the institution. So what would you like to say to each of those three?
Yeah. So first I'll take the surgeons and institutions is that, you know, something that we've seen our current partners, you know, from the industry experience is that they are experiencing something that they've never had before and really finding that the largest unmet resource that they've ever had is their past patients. And we are finding ways to really bring them back into your world, while giving back. To our patient partners and to future patient partners, the ability to be on this platform and give back from an experiential standpoint, what we've heard is that, again, it's something like they've never had before, and the opportunity to do that for others is truly a sense of altruism that we've never experienced before, and we thank every single person who has ever had interest or currently being a part of this program. And knowing that we want to do the same and donating back to a charity of your choice. And most importantly to the patients, very simple. Like, this is an option, right? Like, this is real, right? Like, this is something where, yes, it has never existed before in the world of healthcare, but knowing that we want to give you something that you've never had before, and that's a conversation about what this is actually like to go through the surgery that you're going through. And we have people waiting to help you.
That's wonderful. Patrick, I applaud you. It's this is the first conversation and not the last.
I love
it. So I look forward to seeing your progress all along the way. So glad to be with you.
Yes, it has been an absolute pleasure. Well, thank you again so much.
So this is one more evidence of how businesses, even in the midst of all this distraction from COVID and any other distraction that gets in your way, even all these businesses in California are learning how to thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.